Take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter, book of 1 Peter. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5. I want to, I forgot to do it this morning, but thank you for the motel. It's just everything's excellent, and I really, really appreciate it. And it makes it a lot easier than sleeping in a Sunday school room, and we do that and have done that. And please pray that Lord work it out. It's on His time. He's got everything under control, even though I don't think so. I do say that. He does. I know He does. But pray that the Lord would work it out for us to get that truck. I don't know. I guess we'd fly out and drive it all back. I'm not sure. But we really could use that rig. And there's a lot of work to do. It's in His hands, but He does put things on your heart. And it's like, man, I just... appreciate your prayers on that. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5. And we'll start in verse 5, 1 Peter 5, 5. And this for me, this is an oldie. Some of you may remember this one. I don't know, but I'm praying about it, and I'm like, Lord, come on. But it seems like this is what I should do. But very, very important what I'm preaching on tonight. 1 Peter 5:5, the Bible said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And I'd like you to notice verse 7, a very famous verse, I guess if you want to say it that way. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Let's pray. Father, I pray now that You'd bless the message. God, I'm so thankful that the blood has been applied to my soul. Lord God, and everybody here tonight that's been born again. And Father, in Your eyes, we're perfect. And I thank You for that. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. I just thank You, Lord, for being so good to us. But we are in this world. We are in time. And in this world and in time, there's trials, there's burdens, there's cares, there's all kinds of things, Lord. And You've told us what to do. I pray that this is nothing new, Lord, but I pray You might remind us of the need to do this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Nothing new tonight, nothing that you don't already know. But this is essential, and I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody. Bible says confess your faults one to another. I guess I don't want to go confessing everything, but this last week and a half has been crazy. And my Bible reading, my praying, I mean, I'm praying throughout the day, but a sanctified time of reading and praying has just been upside down everywhere, crazy. And I'm like, Lord God, I mean, Terry and I through the day, Lord, help us. God, help us get our Bibles read. Lord, help us pray. Lord, help us. I mean, it's just been crazy. And I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. When my Bible's not being read like it should be, my prayer time's not what it ought to be, I start to get desperate. And I will be extreme. I mean, I just Whatever I got to do, I'll do it just so I can get this stuff done, and not just so I can get it done, because I need God. I need my Lord. And you're in a battle. You're in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there may be a lot of Christians joining up with the world, the flesh, and the devil. But by the grace of God, don't you join up with the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the way, you can't join up with them in a certain sense, because you're the Lord's. And He bought you and He owns you. And there's no way you can join up with it. You might look like it, but you're never going to fit in. Never going to fit in. You know what some of the hardest people to work around are? Backslidden Christians. You know that? And the ones that you just get disgusted with are the Christians that are backslidden, not doing right, but they'll still profess like they're right with God. And that stuff, it turns your stomach. And it's the same with the world. The lost look at it, and they're disgusted too. You know, that's the image of America, is a backslidden Christian, and the world has no use for it. I mean, it just, they get disgusted with it. But nevertheless, there's a battle going on. And in this battle, this race, this Christianity, the most important race you're ever going to run. And that's the opportunity right now to serve the King of Kings out of choice. When we get to heaven, we'll automatically serve Him. Amen. I'm looking forward to never sinning again. Amen. I'm looking forward to never letting my Savior down again. But, now I'll get to this in a minute. I'm just going to ramble a little bit. But I don't know if you ever thought about this. But why did God put us, and you get saved, okay, and you're in a body that's against God? Now, why did the Lord do that? You ever think about that? This body does not want to read the Bible, doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to do anything right. This body wants to be stroked. It wants to be, you know, like, oh, take care of me, me, me. Oh, don't ignore me. Don't mortify me. Just me, 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 me. That's the body. And it does not want to do right. Why would God do that? God put us in a world that's against Him. The world is against God. The world doesn't love God. The world rejects God. The world crucified God. The world lieth in wickedness, the Bible says. Why would God save you and then put you in a body that's against Him and then a world that's against Him? Why would He do that? And then, on top of all of that, He said, that's bad enough. Yeah, it is. But the god of this world is the devil. I mean, He said, be the god of this world in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11. And so he hates God. He's against God. Why would the Lord take you, you're saved, and baptize you or immerse you into everything around you is against Him? You ever think about that? Why would He do that? I mean, if you're going to live for God, it's going to be a battle. Now, why would the Lord do that? And I got thinking about that thing. And this life, this body, the world, and the devil, all this stuff's against God. You know what it is? It's likened unto, this may sound weird, but this is how I view it, an oil filter. And that oil passes through that filter, and that filter catches all the junk, the particles, and filters it out, and the oil is cleaner. It's clean coming out the other side. For those of us who are saved, we're clean. But it catches all that stuff, and all this stuff that's against God around us is a filter, and we're going through life. And we can't stop that. And we're going through this life with a body and a world and the god of this world. It's all against God. And all that stuff is going to catch every part of you that loves yourself. And what's going to pass through that filter is your love for God. And that filter makes it obvious who loves the Lord and who doesn't. It's not a mystery. You say, well, how do you know? I know if you love the Lord by your actions. It really is not hard to figure out. Somebody that loves the Lord is going to be reading their Bible, going to be praying, they're going to try and do right. That doesn't mean we're 100%, but when you do wrong, it'll break your heart. And all this stuff, it's just a filter. And the ones coming through, or that part of your life that makes it through, is that part that loves God. Because if you get snagged and realize that, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, and you'll come loose and keep on going. And the Lord's looking on your heart. Lord checking you out. And you are in a battle, and there's certain things that are essential, and you got to be reading that book. And you know that, but are you doing it? Have you read it all the way through this year? Well, this is March, you know. Have you read it through in a year? But that's a minimum if you're going to survive. I mean, if you just want to straighten your mind out, you got to get in the Word of God. That thing's clean. You ever get tired of dirt? You get tired of sin? Are there ever times you open this book and go, ah? Oh. Because that right there, you don't have to, was that right or is that wrong? Or I don't know about that, and I don't know if that pleases God. You can unreservedly read the words of a King James Bible and know that it's right. And you, with that right there, you start reading it, you can relax. And just go, and it's a source of righteousness. And godliness right there. It is your source, the source. And you got to be reading your Bible. And it's amazing how the flesh doesn't want to do it. You get ready to read that book, and it's like, well, I better use the restroom. I'm going to be sitting down for a while, so I've got to go use the restroom. Okay. You know, and then, okay, now, okay, get ready to read it. Well, I better get a bite to eat. You know, I'm going to be here for a few minutes, so, you know, I'll get a bite to eat. You know, well, you know, okay, oh, there was something I wanted to do here. Let me get on here just for a minute. You know, so. And I mean, I don't know if you ever examine yourself when you get ready to read that Bible, the flesh starts going, well, what about, you know, you have to do that just a little bit. We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, you just, oh, man, it's a battle. It is a battle. And you got to get in that book. Listen, if you're too busy to read your Bible, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. I mean, these are essentials. These are things. If you want to survive and finish this life right, you better be in that book. You're not going to do it. You're not going to make it if you're not. You better be going through this Bible at least once a year. At least once a year. That's your strength. That right there. That thing will make you strong. And when you're not in it, you're going to get weak. And the flesh riles up. I mean, so fast. It's amazing. But you better be in that book. You better be praying. And I'll get to the prayer in a minute. You better keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Barack Obama did not take Jesus Christ by surprise. You know, now, lately, I know it sounds weird, and don't crucify me, but lately, I've begun to thank God for Barack Obama. You say, how can you do that? Oh, because he is only voicing what a great majority, well, I don't say a great majority, but a number of Americans, he's the epitome of what they believe. And you say, well, that's not the majority. Not yet, although you would be surprised. You know what's amazing about that? There's people, so I don't believe everything and I'm not that liberal, all that stuff, but you watch that junk on TV and let that kind of philosophy penetrate your mind. So, well, I just don't believe that stuff. Well, give it time. You expose yourself to that stuff long enough, you will. But you take all it is, it's all headed just like God wants it to go. You know, that's it. And the sooner it gets to a certain point, the sooner we're out of here. You know, it's rapture time and let's go. I mean, that's it. And, you know, but you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. This stuff hasn't caught the Lord by surprise. We were talking before church You know what America needs? It needs revival. It's not coming. Oh, you're just so naked, David. No, it's not coming. It's not coming. There's no revival coming. He said, God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There's no doubt about that. But revival didn't come. You say, well, how can you say that? It's that attitude that's stopping revival. No, it's not. No, it's not. Revival will only come through a King James Bible. And how many churches in America believe and read out of a King James Bible? It's a staggering minority. Like I mentioned before, church, if you wanted revival, all you got, it's very easy. Get all the churches in America to trade out their junk and start using a King James Bible, and you would have revival. You would. It would come. I mean, within a month, if the I hate to call them preachers, but whatever standing in the pulpits, if they got a King James Bible and all they did was stand up there and read it, there would be a power that would go and there would be convictions. But without that, there's no revival, and that's not going to happen. That's just where it is. But you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. The Lord's got everything in control. And if you'll submit to Him, He'll have your life, your family, your future, your everything under control. There will be no, oh no, what about this? What about that? What if the stock market crashes? What about... Man, if you're trusting in the Lord and relying on Him, that stuff's not going to worry you. Now, I'm not saying you're backslidden if you have that stuff. I'm not saying that. But it's amazing how those things cause you to relax and trust in things and not the Lord. It really is. But you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You need to remember, these are just some essentials, and then I'll get to the text. You need to remember there's forgiveness with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness. When you let Him down, go to Him and say, Lord, please forgive me. There's forgiveness with the Lord. And He, listen, when you're saved, and Pastor mentioned it before the sermon, listen, if you're saved, one of these days you're going to be in heaven. Now, every now and then you need to stop and just let that sink into your soul. I may make a mess of things down here before it's over. I don't want to, but I am no good. But I'm going to heaven. And one day I'm going to be there. I am going to heaven. And if you're saved, you are going to heaven. I tell you, and just let that, I'm in, and the Lord's not going to kick me out. I'm secure in Jesus Christ, and one of these days, I'm going to see Him on His throne. One of these days, I'm going to walk into my mansion. One of these days, I get a new body that'll never sin. One of these days, there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more nighttime, no more graveyards, no more taxes, no more hospitals, none of that stuff. I'll be home in heaven. And every now and then you need to stop and just rest. Rest in that. Rest in that. There's security in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else. Notice what's necessary. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. Be subject one to another. You're to live. You're to submit to each other. Grace Baptist Church, you're to submit to each other. You say, well, in what way? You're to live your life for the Lord in a way that's going to help each other live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's something that maybe you have liberty to do, but it would be a stumbling block to a weaker brother or sister, then you won't do it because you don't want to cause them to fall. That's the submitting and helping each other. And it says there, ye all can be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. I don't want God to push me away. He resisteth the proud. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What's it mean to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? It means to submit to the circumstances you're in as if they came straight from God. Think about that. And then say, Lord, if it never changes, thy will be done. I love you. You know, that's hard to do if you have cancer. That's hard to do if you're lonely. That's hard to do if you're broke. It's hard to say, Lord, if I never get ahead on my bills, Lord, if I don't get healed, Lord, if I don't get a friend or this, Lord, if it never changes, I love you and I'm content. Now, that's, you got to work through that stuff. But it says there that he may exalt you in due time. And then your care, your trust, your anticipation, it's all in him. And he says they're casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But God, would you heal me? But God, would you give me some money? I say this for his glory. Because I'm just in awe. I really am. But we went out there to Arizona and went out there to do work. And there was mold in the trailer, second trailer we had mold in. We were sick the month of December. I had to get out back to a car. And I'll be honest with you, it really broke me. I've never been there before, but I walked out in the field and I just said, God, it's all yours. I have no aspirations, no plans. I have no strength. I'm done. And I forget how it started, but we were praying, and they were asking prayer requests in the church. And I said, I'd like, he says, yeah. I said, pray, Lord, give me $125,000 as my request. And I'm down to 91. Like, whoa, and that's like a month and a half, 2 months. That's him. And it's like, wow, we're heading in the right direction, you know, this is good. And I was fasting and praying. I was fasting over that thing, not that thing, but just fasting because we need something to live in and just kind of get rearranged so we can just do the work of the ministry. And just asking, Lord, I need $125,000. And little by little, it's been coming in. And that's casting your care. That's bringing it up to him. Thank God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he says they're casting all your care. I wonder what burdens are on your heart tonight. I bet you everybody's got some. I bet you everybody here tonight, from the youngest child to the oldest adult, there's something on your heart, and chances are more than one thing. And they're burdens. And they weigh you down. They get heavy at times. Burden you. And he says, casting all your care. As I go through the verse, I want you to think about what you and I need to do. And he says, casting all your care. Those burdens weigh you down, whether it's bills, whether it's relationships, whether it's sickness, whatever it is, there's burdens in this life. And they weigh you down, they slow you down, and if you're not careful, they'll crush you. And just end up just on the sidelines for Jesus Christ. And that's not God's will, isn't it? And the heaviest burden, the heaviest care, if you're here tonight and you've never been born again, the heaviest burden is your unforgiven sins, and you're not even aware of it because you've always been that way. And you've got to come to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior and let him take that burden. Brothers and sisters, do you remember when that burden got lifted? Boy, it was like, wow, this is great. And it still is. And thank God. But he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And notice that first word, casting. Casting. What is that? Well, that's like throwing. As a young boy, I like throwing rocks. Any kids here? You like throwing rocks? I like throwing rocks. Yeah, I like throwing rocks. They're free, right? Yeah. You know, they're free. And now I haven't figured this one out. Why is it? Now, maybe some of you would know, and so afterwards, please tell me. Why is it when you get around the lake, everybody wants to throw a rock in the lake? Isn't that weird? Yeah. I like to, yeah. Or skip them, you know, skip across the water. But, man, we were up at, I forget the lake. It's up there above Syracuse, up the big lake. Yeah, Ontario. And there's a state park on the eastern side of that thing. We were there, and there's a bench sitting there, and we're watching the sunset. And it's real pretty. And there's people camping and stuff. And this little baby, I mean, it could barely walk, diaper on. And so, ladies, you know the stages. I don't know. Would that be a year old? More? Okay, see, I can't get it. One time I said my son was learning to talk. He was 7 years old. I mean, it was just, anyway. Because I remember some people going, looking at me weird. And then Terry afterwards goes, he wasn't 7 years old. I said, did I say that? But, but this kid comes up and had to be held by, he's holding on to someone's hand. And walks up, to the edge of the lake. I let him kid. Nobody taught him nothing. Reached down, picked up a rock, and went, and threw it in the water. Why do we do that? I don't know. I don't know why. That's not in my notes, but nevertheless, that's casting. That's casting. And I'd throw them rocks, and I really have an imagination. I can entertain myself driving. I've been in tears, just going down the road. And Terry go, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, I'm writing a book and it's great. And he said, what was it about? I can't remember. I need to make notes and I can't remember it. But, I have just an imagination. And but you throw them rocks and flat ones. You throw them out there in the curve, and it's a dive bomber. And all that stuff. And that's what you got to do with your burdens. You got to throw them on Jesus Christ. You got to cast them on the Lord. And if you carry them, they're going to burden you down. And when you pray and say, Lord, would you be with this and be with that? And sometimes the burdens are so heavy. Rebecca was in intensive care with spinal meningitis. You don't just throw that one on the Lord. You try, but it's so big. It's like, Lord, take it. And 5 minutes later, take it again, and you're just praying through that stuff. But you've got to cast your burdens upon the Lord. You've got to throw them on Him. He's the one to have them. I remember I heard this story. Jack Hiles told it when he was in a meeting with John R. Rice, and they had separate motel rooms, and Jack Hiles got up, he's ready to go, and he went over to John Rice's motel room, knocked on the door, and he came to the door and said, oh, Brother Hiles, come on in. And he had a piece of paper in his hand, and he came in, and Brother Rice took that paper, and he walked over to the trash can, and he tore it up. And when he did, he mumbled something. It was just... And Jack Hiles, he said, Brother Rice, what are you doing? And he said, each morning... I'll get out a piece of paper, and he said, I'll write down, say, Lord, what's on my heart? And he said, I'll start writing everything on my heart, make a list. He said, and I pray through that list, I pray over it. When I get done, he said, I tear it up and say, Lord, those are your burdens now. You know, that's real therapeutic. You know that beats Prozac, That beats whiskey, it really does. You got to take those burdens, and Jesus Christ is the place to take them to and cast them on Him. And that word casting also, when they make a cast iron, a bell in the sand, they make a casting and then they pour it in there. That casting's wrapped right around that thing. Rebecca broke her leg and they put a cast on her leg. and they wrapped that stuff around it, and it formed around that leg and held it in position, and it was just right around there. And whether you want to throw your burdens on the Lord or wrap them around Him, either way, Jesus Christ is the one that's supposed to have your burdens. And you got to give them to Him. And you know what's amazing about this? It's not hard, and yet it's hard. You see what I mean? It's not hard to pray. It's just talking. But isn't it hard to pray? I mean, to get alone and to talk out loud and bring your cares to Him. Listen, it doesn't cost anything to read your Bible. But isn't it hard to read your Bible? It is amazing, that spiritual battle. And you've got to take your cares, those things, those burdens that are on your heart, big or small, and they're to be on Him. They're to be on Him by the grace of God. And that's essential. He says, casting. Now watch this. Casting. Look at the next word, all. That's just a little word. You don't even have to go to the Greek. Amen? I mean, all. You know what all means? It means all. That's what all means. I know that's profound, but it's true. Casting all. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you got alone with God, Jesus Christ, and you prayed, whether kneeling, sitting, I don't care. But when's the last time you prayed out loud with your eyes closed? Let me say it that way. Nothing wrong with praying while you're driving. Nothing wrong with praying other times. But I'm talking about, listen, the Lord says that closet of prayer. You know what I mean? When's the last time you got alone in a closet of prayer and stayed there until everything that's on your heart was given to the Lord? How long has it been? You ever done this? Oh, God, I pray about such and such, and I pray about this. And you give them the big things. Oh, yeah, you know, those things that are right there, they're real big. You know, Lord, now I pray about that, and I pray about that. You know, get going down there. And you're praying, bringing the big stuff. And then maybe some not quite so big, but bringing it to Him. And you get going down there and say, and I ask all this in Jesus' name. And the Spirit of God says, yeah, but what about? And brings about four or five things up. Okay, now, Lord God, I pray about that too, Lord. And I just pray, and I pray You'd be with this, that, you know, bring it up there. And say, and I ask it in Jesus' name. And you're getting ready to go, and the Spirit of God says, yeah, but what about? Now, Lord God, I pray about that too. You ever done that? And then I pray in Jesus' name, the Spirit of God says, yeah, but what about? Well, I'll get that later. I've prayed. I mean, it's more than I usually do, so I just go. When's the last time you got alone with God and prayed? Everything. And at the end said, Lord, is there anything else? Well, to do that, your flesh goes, no, don't ask Him that. But you prayed and said, Lord, is there anything else I need to talk to You about? And how long has it been since you took everything to God and said, Lord, is that everything? And the Lord said, yeah, that'll do. And all your burdens, the what ifs, the fears, the desires, all has been brought to God. How long has it been since you took everything to Jesus Christ? We were in an apartment in LA. Thank God we're not there anymore. And behind it, there was an alley, and people had moved out and left, you know, stuff behind, so they put it in the alley. And the alley was building up with all this junk. And some of it wasn't junk, some of it was pretty nice. And the landlord said, I've had it. She tried to call people, they wouldn't come get it, and said, okay, fine. And so one Saturday, this big old dump truck pulls up. A couple guys got out. They went back there, and I heard the one say to the other, said, now the lady said, get everything. So you just get all this stuff, and he had a wheelbarrow. I mean, there's dressers and lamps and tires and tarps and just kind of a eclectic pile. And said, just get it all. And he said, all right. And that guy started working. And then after a couple hours, I heard him back there again. And the one guy said to the other, he said, are you sure she said everything? said, the lady said, get everything, now get it all. And he said, well, okay. And they cleaned it out, took everything out of there. And it looked real good. When's the last time you took everything and you brought it to Jesus Christ? You know, revival will start right there. It really will. He says, casting all, notice your. Thank God for a church. Amen. Thank God. I mean, this morning, pastor took prayer requests. Say, anybody got a prayer request, something like that, you know? And people, would you pray for this, pray for that? I mean, thank God you can come into church and have a prayer request, and there's going to be brothers and sisters, they're going to write it down, and they're going to pray for your request. That is a very valuable thing. It really is. But I cannot take your burdens, put them on God. And this church cannot take your burdens, put them on God. You're the only one that can do that. You've got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got to bring your burdens to Jesus Christ and put them on Him. You may have other people praying for you. Some people say, would you pray about this? They've never even prayed about it themselves. And somebody prays about it and it gets answered. They say, well, praise the Lord. Lord, answer prayer. And they never even prayed about it themselves. Living on somebody else's spirituality. But you take casting all your care, notice, upon Him. You know, if you have a burden, you know what you want to do? You want to talk about it. You want to talk about it. I got to talk to somebody. I just want to talk to somebody. I mean, if it's really heavy. Now, sometimes men, they'll just be stoic and they'll just bury it, and just stiff upper lip and go on through. That's not the right thing to do. You got to bring it to Jesus Christ. But if there's a burden there, you want to talk to somebody. Even if a man does that, he wishes he had somebody he could confide in. And you can in Jesus Christ. But He's the place to go. If there's something bothering you, listen. There are things nobody else needs to hear. There are things, whether it's worries, whether it's fears, whether it's memories, whether it's activities of your old life or whatever, there are things your pastor does not need to know about or hear. I mean, there's people coming out of Egypt and there's ungodliness. And you say, well, but I want to talk to somebody. Then there's certain things that you need to bring to Jesus Christ and Him alone. And everything ought to go to Him. But there are certain things, or if you are going to have to talk about certain things, be very discreet in your descriptions. Amen, amen, amen. And you want to talk about it. You just want to go. And listen, Jesus Christ is not going to laugh at you. He's not going to say, do you have insurance? Oh, you do? Well, come on ahead. He's not going to make fun of you. He's not going to laugh at you. Hey, young people, kids, there's things you want to talk about. And there's going to be times, young people, where mom and dad are busy. And mom, can I talk to you? Daddy, can I talk? No, later. You know what? With Jesus Christ, He's never too busy to listen to you. Do you know that? He's just a second. Why don't you come back tomorrow? It's never that way. The Lord Jesus Christ is longing to hear from you. He wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants to help you. And you're to cast all your care upon Him. I'm so glad I don't have to go to Dr. Phil or Dr. whoever. I mean, thank God I can go to Jesus Christ. He's the one that designed me. He knows how I work. And He knows what functions and what works and what doesn't work. And you need to go to Him. Notice it says, casting all your care upon Him. Now watch it. For He. You know who that is? That's the one that in heaven they cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is the Most High God. Did you hear me? Jesus Christ is the Most High. You say, what's that mean? There's nobody higher than Jesus Christ. There's nobody that comes close to Jesus Christ. He's the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He's the one, there's nothing too hard for Him. He's the one that said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's the one that said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's the great God, and the one that rules all has said, would you talk to me? Would you tell me about your burdens? Would you bring it to me? I can do something about that. For He is the one that lifted me up out of an horrible pit. Nobody else could. He's the one that's eternal. He's the great I Am. He's powerful. There's no weakness in Him. He's the light, and on and on and on. These lips can't describe Him. But that God, the Most High, think about this. Look at it, says, for He, now watch it, careth for you. If you are saved here tonight, the God of the universe cares for you. And maybe you say, well, I know He cares for us. No, you didn't. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. He cares for you individually. He knows the hairs on your head, Bob says. He knows where the sparrow falls. Do you realize God's thinking about you? Now, you got to stop and think about that. What's on your heart is what you're going to think about. Okay? You take a young man, young woman getting ready to get married, that they're going to be consumed with it. You got bills due tomorrow, you don't have the money, you're going to be thinking about that. What's really on your heart, that's where your thoughts are. Lots of times it's just when the Lord is the center of your heart, then you'll be thinking about Him. But the Bible says He careth for you. Notice, go to Psalms 139. Look at Psalms 139. It's an amazing thought. And it's a great thought. It's a great truth, I should say, that Jesus Christ is thinking about me. And He's thinking about you. He said, well, how does He do that? I don't know. He's infinite. He can think about me and you at the same time. He can listen to our prayers at the same time. I don't know how He does that, but I know it's so. And look at Psalm 139, verse 17. Psalm 139, verse 17. The Bible says, how precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The Lord's thinking about you. You say, no, that's the psalmist thinking about God. No, it's not. You say, how do you know? Look at it. Verse 18. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. That isn't my thoughts towards God. That's God's thoughts towards me. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. You ever been to the ocean? You ever walked along the beach? A lot of sand. And the Bible, the Word of God says, if you could reach down and start counting the sand, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's miles and miles. The Bible says, God, Jesus Christ, has had more thoughts towards you than the sand. Why? Because He loves you and He cares for you. It says there, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. But in this age, and really it's been in every age, but even more so today, you and I have got to take all our cares and cast them upon Jesus Christ. Knowing He's not too busy. Knowing He cares. Knowing He's able. Knowing that you're not being a burden to Him. He wants to hear from you. Let me say this and I'm done. You may not like this illustration. But your burdens are at times you're going through life and you're getting burdened down, and it's like you got this sack on and it's just getting so heavy, and about that time another rock gets thrown on you. And it's like, you're about ready to go down. And when you say, "Oh God," and you take your burden, your cares, and you start casting them on Him, that thing gets lighter. But those burdens, they're like a snowflake. And you've got ridges around here, and I'm sure there's names for mountains. And I don't personally know any. I know out west in California, there's Mount Whitney. Mount Whitney's the highest mountain in the lower 48. It's there in California. Mount Whitney's got snow on it, but those snowflakes, they come down, they'll fall on Mount Whitney. That big old mountain's there. Say, "Hey, Mount Whitney, did you feel that?" "Feel what?" "That snowflake just landed on you." "Nothing to me. I can bear it up. It's not heavy to me." And your burdens that are about ready to crush you, if you'll cast them on Jesus Christ, He can bear them. He can carry them. He can get you through. And you've got to cast all your cares upon Him. For He. Why? For He careth for you. That's why. Thank God for our Savior that cares. And you take everything. If it's been a while, let me say this. You say, "Preacher, I'm so busy." All right, I understand that. Then could you pray this? "Lord, I don't know when. I am so tired. My schedule is such. Lord, would you work it out so I could have some time to get with you and bring all my cares?" I mean, if your schedule's so busy, ask Him to help you get time to spend with Him so you can bring it to Him. Do you know what I'm saying? Just everything. Say, "God, I don't have the strength." Say, "Lord, would you give me the strength? Would you work it out? Would you enable me to do what I ought to do?" And start praying your way out of the frustration and the heaviness and the burdens and the depression. Start praying your way out of that stuff by telling Him everything and asking Him and casting it on Him, and come out to a place of victory and joy and strength in the Lord. But you must take everything and cast it on Him, knowing that He careth for you. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful I have a place to go. For 18 years, I didn't have a place to go. And the places I went were not good. I just wanted to numb my mind. But I'm so glad, Lord, I can bring my cares now. I have a place. And I know there's burdens here tonight. There's hearts that are heavy, they're broken, they're worried, they're concerned. Many, many cares here tonight. And I pray, God, that if they have not been getting alone with You and taking everything, I pray tonight they would come to You and ask You to help them to do that. For those that are, I pray they'd continue. But God, help us. Help us to bring it all, everything to You. You're our refuge. You're our strength. You are our very present help in time of trouble. God, there's nowhere else to go. And I pray, God, You'd help us to cast all our cares upon Thee, knowing that You care for us. Bless, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What number, sister?